Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
As I look back at all our different childhoods, because we all know that we are the same at the level of spirit, but on the physical level, we were all raised in different places, different cultural backgrounds, different financial situations, everything. I'd still be willing to bet, as Angela mentioned, that everyone in this room had a favorite superhero, or maybe two at some point in your life, obviously. So what I want to know is, who was it? Okay, for people my age, there's a few of you out there who it was probably, like Angela said, Superman, and I'm a lot older than her, Superman, Batman, The Flash, Wonder Woman, you know, whoever it happened to be. Nobody ever picks Aquaman or any of the old, you know, if you know who that is. And then we got the more recently refurbished heroes, all the Marvel comic heroes like Iron Man. I like him. Everybody like him, you know, good. Captain America, Wolverine, Spider-Man, you know, all those different people. Or maybe you had a sports hero when you were growing up. Mine were Mickey Mantle and Harmon Killebrew, if you ever heard of him, going way back to the 50s. Or it might have been Jackie Robinson or Roberto Clemente or Hank Aaron, if you were here in Atlanta. Today, as she said, who are the sports heroes? Steph Curry, maybe LeBron James right now, obviously, or whatever sport you like. Then you got all the characters in Star Wars and Star Trek. And Dancing with the Stars, you know, all the different ones, you know, and who knows what else. All the Harry Potter heroes, that's a lot of stuff, too. I mean, as I think back, I know I had a lot of different heroes as I was growing up, but the heroes kept changing as I got older, as I went through the different stages of my life. Now, I went through most of the typical stages, as many of you did. I was comic book heroes when I was real young. Then I got into sports heroes when I was in Little League, and then into war heroes, that kind of thing at the time, the Vietnam era. I remember when I was 8 years old, probably my biggest hero phase was Zorro, if you remember him, the original Guy Williams with Walt Disney, not the other one, not the Anthony Hopkins one. I remember my parents brought home a new baby brother. It was the second new baby brother in 4 years. I thought they were trying to get rid of me. It was, you know, this was getting to be a habit. Then 4 years later, they had brought in another one, you know, whatever. But I remember they brought him in and they said, well, what should we name him? You know, just wanting to include me in that. So I said, let's name him Zorro. And they said, isn't that sweet? And they named him Steven, you know, strange. He works for the State Department now, so he's probably happy he's not named Zorro. It was around Halloween time. I had the cape and the mask, you know, the black mask around there and the hat and the sword, kind of a stick or a plastic kind of a sword. And I had a Zorro lunchbox that would be worth about $5,000 on eBay right now had I kept it. So, you know, so eventually I outgrew it, which is good because it wouldn't have gone over real good at the military college I went to, having all that, you know, paraphernalia on. However, my senior year in the military college, they made me a squadron commander and gave me a cape and a sword so I could lead the guys in a parade. So it kind of came full circle. It was sort of a strange thing. Now, in the 1950s, when I was a child, most of our heroes were fantasy figures, the typical Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman thing, depending upon the latest comic book we read. And kids changed their mind and identified with different heroes from week to week, as quick as they could change the channel. Of course, we didn't have a remote. You had to change it that way. But anyway, but the one common characteristic that all of our heroes had was they had some kind of special power or skill. And I realized later that's because children often feel powerless. Very, very true. If we felt trapped in our life, we chose a hero who could fly. If we felt ugly in our life, then we chose a hero who was very handsome or very beautiful. If we felt weak, we chose a hero who was strong, who had super strength, because identifying with them allowed us to experience something that we were having trouble identifying with ourselves, that we felt was missing in our life. But as we got older, as we started to get a little more aware, maybe around 13, 14, getting into high school, instead of picking heroes that were beyond imagination better than us, we started to admire and pick people who told us more and more about ourselves. We started picking heroes who began to reflect our deeper desire for whatever we wanted to see happen in our lives and in the world. So instead of comic book heroes or Disney characters, we started to go to real live people, whether it was sports heroes or whatever it happened to be, movie stars, whatever. But that's where it got a little bit tricky, because when we are teenagers, we are very, very impressionable. So hopefully the people who attracted our attention and our admiration were people who helped us grow into better human beings. So when I was in high school, that meant people like Bobby Kennedy and John Kennedy at the time, Dr. King at the time, people who were bigger than life but were actually doing things in the real world. On the other hand, when you got teenagers picking heroes, some of them are attracted to role models who are not quite as accepted by mainstream society. I remember when one of my younger brothers, not Zorro, the other one, was going through a phase where he absolutely worshipped Jim Morrison. Remember him, the lead singer of a group called The Doors? Some of you, now there was an upstanding individual for you, you know, as a hero. And as I recall, my father was not very pleased about this at all. My brother was wearing Jim Morrison t-shirts. He had posters on his wall. He was doing the drugs. He was doing all that kind of stuff. But in retrospect, it made perfect sense, because he was choosing a hero who reflected his own desire to break out of the mainstream society, which, right or wrong, was eventually what he ended up doing. So his hero, excuse me, for better or worse, was a very appropriate choice for him. And whether or not you liked who Jim Morrison was as a person, a lot of people did not, he was a man who chose his own path. So during that time frame, there were rock stars who, like Janis Joplin and these people, who were not living what we would call admirable lives, that a lot of these children at the time, people my age, were following. So the equivalent today would be some of the more violent rap stars, maybe. Not Usher, who's a great guy, but some of the others, people following this. Now, the point I'm making here is that heroes are neither good nor bad any more than our reflection in a mirror is good or bad. Because that's what heroes are. Heroes are reflections. They show us who, at some level, we want to be. Now, just like most of the ideas we talk about in this teaching, our choice of heroes at any given time in our life depends upon the way that we think about ourselves in relation to life. That's kind of where I want to go today. So anyway, as I got thinking about the idea for this talk, I started to realize that my own definition of a hero is changing even today. Even at my age, in my 60s. As a matter of fact, if you asked me today if I had any living heroes, I would find it a little difficult to think of one. Unfortunately, but it's true. I mean, certainly nobody in the sports world. I mean, I admire skills and abilities. I like Jordan Spieth. I like golf, so he's somebody I admire, but not necessarily a hero. I think the last time I was truly impressed, unfortunately, it was about 15 years ago, by a hero that I saw in real life, was at the Tiananmen Square thing, uprising in China. Remember that guy stood in front of a tank, and as the tank was moving, he'd move and stand in front of him? I thought that was pretty impressive. That was pretty heroic. I was also impressed by the first responders at the World Trade Center when that happened, the firemen who were carrying 100-pound loads going up the stairs while people were going down and they never came out. That was pretty impressive. And the police officers who did that, how about the police officers who rushed into the Pulse nightclub while all that was going on to pull people out and to confront the shooter to try to save other people's lives? Or Congressional Medal of Honor's recipients, ceremonies. There are definitely some heroic people around. But I think most of us look at those kind of heroes sort of in the abstract. We think of them as society's heroes instead of ours. I mean, I guess there's some small part of me, probably connected to my ego, that's a little uncomfortable with the idea of having a personal hero, of someone that I want to model myself after. I mean, maybe the Dalai Lama, that would be something good. But that's probably because I've reached a point in my life where what people do doesn't impress me as much as the ideas that they have and how they bring those ideas into the world, whether it's ideas for social change, racial equality, economic equality, all those kind of things, or what. Or maybe it's because our society no longer believes in heroes the way that we used to. As a matter of fact, it's unfortunate, but nowadays we seem to be more obsessed with seeing our heroes fall. That's gotten to be very, very popular on the internet. We seem to get some kind of perverse satisfaction when we see someone who's famous who's caught doing something they shouldn't be doing, even if what they did had nothing to do with their achievements. We even do that after our heroes die. We look at the rumors and the gossip that followed John Kennedy after he died that had nothing to do with the things he did, or Dr. King, or any of these really great people. I don't know why it surprises us so much that our heroes are actually human beings with human weaknesses. But for some strange reason, it does. Now, like a lot of people, probably some of you, I look at Facebook a lot because that's how I connect with a lot of different people. But looking at any sort of YouTube clip or something of someone doing something noble and courageous with no regard for their safety, we see it in a lot of different cases. I used to read Reader's Digest a fair amount when I was writing talks earlier because it gave me some interesting information. And there was one cover story a number of years ago that was really, really fascinating. I still remember it. And it was about three perfectly ordinary people who performed extraordinary acts of bravery, of heroism. One of them was about a housewife who jumped out of her car to jump into a moving car. The driver had had a heart attack and his car was moving across the median head on into heavy traffic. And she got in the car and stopped him. Another one was about a man who jumped into a flooded storm drain during a heavy flood where there was a grandmother in her car submerged, had turned upside down, and he just jumped out of his car, went down and got her. Another was about a gentleman who went into a raging house fire to rescue an 18-year-old child. He just happened by, saw the house, a woman screaming, "My baby's in there," went straight in the door, went upstairs, got the child, and came out. Now, the interesting thing about this story was all the rescuers and the people they rescued survived, and they still stay in touch years and years later. They have that moment of contact, of recognition of life, that connection that allows them to stay connected. But whenever I read stories like these, when I get over the, you know, the warm, fuzzy, feeling good part that you get right when you read it, there's something inside of me that makes me wonder how I would behave in that situation. And if you've been watching the news lately, there's a lot of situations going on that require people to take action, to respond. What is it about these particular people that caused them to risk their own lives? And, little side note to the Reader's Digest story, all three of the rescuers had spouse and children at home. So it wasn't like just a single person who says, "What the hell, I got nothing to lose." These were people who really had very involved lives. Now, it certainly wasn't an intellectual decision that caused them to do it. And it wasn't like they'd practiced it, so it wasn't a talent kind of a thing. So it had to be something different. It had to be something inside of them, which is where this heroic action or attitude comes from. Now, Ernest Hemingway, he once said, "As we get older, it's harder to have heroes, but it's still necessary." Which is an interesting statement. But it's true, because there's something about seeing the nobility of the human spirit in action that raises us all to a higher level whenever we see something like that. All right, so maybe it's not that it's harder to have heroes when we get older. Maybe we just need a different idea of what a hero really is. Now, part of the problem is we throw the word hero around a lot. We apply it to superstars, movie stars, musicians, prince, all these kind of things, whatever. And that's fine if you want to apply it that way. We talk about sports heroes, movie stars, music legends. On the internet, somebody can be a hero today, huge hero today, get a couple million hits, and the next day nobody knows who they are. It can go that fast. But none of this should be surprising, because we as humanity have a long history of putting people on pedestals, even when they don't deserve it. We seem to have a need for it, for those kind of people that have some sort of a unique talent or ability, to put them up there. But a true hero is something a lot more than just somebody with talent or somebody who did something big. I mean, we talk about people like Galileo or Einstein, and we admire them, but we don't consider them to be heroes. In order to get the hero label, somebody has to do something that is above and beyond the norm, where they express more courage than the average person does. Now, I went to the dictionary for this, because that's always good for something like this. And if you look in the dictionary, this is what it says. Listen carefully. It's interesting. Carefully. It says, a hero is a person of distinguished courage or ability, admired by others, that's interesting, for their brave deeds and noble qualities, who is regarded as a model or an ideal. In many ways, that's pretty good. It's impressive. But I actually think this definition leaves a little room for different kinds of heroes than most people think of when they think of the word hero. You see, in the eyes of most people, a hero does something that they could never see themselves actually doing. Maybe something you'd fantasize about, dream about, you know, imagine, whatever, but not actually do. But the definition of a heroic act can cover a very broad range of behaviors. It doesn't always have to be a flaming rooftop rescue with gunfire and all that kind of thing. There are those quiet acts of everyday heroism that don't appear in the newspaper, like the mother or the father who stays up all night with a sick child or a sick parent, like a single parent who works two jobs and long hours to support their family, like a person who quietly but firmly refuses to go along with something unethical or unjust, or a person who will actually stand in the forefront and say out loud that something is unjust. We've been seeing that in the last week or so. All of these things require great courage and noble abilities. But what I love about these kinds of heroes is they're all completely possible for anyone of us who has the spiritual awareness and inner strength to do what is necessary. We can all do it. We are all potential heroes. We just have a little trouble seeing it because most of the time we don't allow ourselves to feel heroic at all. A lot of the time we allow ourselves to feel powerless in the face of all the things that are going on in the world. Whether we realize it or not, all of us have the ability to do all these things, okay? Which is why it is important for us to understand what we are doing and what we are saying to ourselves when we tell ourselves that we are not enough to do whatever needs to be done. You see, somehow a lot of people think that someone who is being heroic is different from the rest of us. We admire what they did. We're glad they did it. But we don't see any connection between them and us. We see them as exceptions to the normal human behavior when we need to see them as examples. And there are examples everywhere you look. Even in the most horrific situations, there are examples that we can follow in every situation. The funny thing is, it is this subtle separation that we see between us and them that not only prevents us from following in their footsteps, it also makes it easier for us to stand by silently when society tries to judge them or tear them down. When society tries to tear down real heroes, we all lose. It diminishes every single one of us. I read a statement this morning. I love it. It applies here. It says, injustice anywhere endangers justice everywhere. All right? It's the same principle. That's why we need to start seeing our heroes not as people who are showing us what they can do, but people who are showing us what we can do by their example. Because any truly heroic act is not simply a matter of some individual making a difficult decision and carrying it out. It's about a person who has reached, before it happened, way before it happened, a clear and unwavering decision on a conscious or subconscious level that they will be open to support life in whatever way they need to do it, morally, ethically, physically, in any way, no matter what, in the moment. Because a lot of times it happens on very short notice. Now that may be going into a building to save a child, a burning building to save a child, or it could mean giving days and years of our life, one day at a time, to care for a child or an aging parent. It can be either one. Both of those require great courage, and both of them require a great awareness that we are more powerful than we ever believed we could be. That's where the whole heroic thing comes from. You see, every single one of us has the courage that is in everyone else. We all have that courage. The only difference is a hero is a person who has decided to use it. That's the only difference. One of the main things that we teach here, Angela mentioned it, Peter actually sang about it in the first song, is that we are more than we appear to be. That's when I see all this stuff happening on the news over the last couple weeks. All that comes to my mind is, come on, people, we're better than this. We have the ability to be better than this. One of my favorite writers, a man by the name of William James, who was one of the great psychologists and philosophers in the 20th century, he wrote this. It's a few sentences, a short paragraph, so stay with me. It's very powerful. He said, most people live in a very restricted circle of their potential being. Great statement. They make use of a very small portion of their possible consciousness and of their soul's resources in general, much like a man with a healthy body who uses only his little finger. And then he says, great emergencies and crises show us how much greater our vital resources are than we had supposed. Great emergencies and crises show us how much more powerful we are than we had ever imagined. Now, after I read it years ago and loved it, I couldn't help thinking that it's too bad we feel like we have to wait for some great emergency before we allow the power of life to flow through us unobstructed. Why can't we do that on a daily basis in everything we do? I mean, if you're in metaphysics or spirituality at any level, you read in all sorts of different sources that life is composed of infinite possibilities. Every aspect of life is composed of infinite possibilities. We call them choices and opportunities and words like that. That's what makes life so exciting and interesting. And the people who get the most out of life are always going to be those people who move forward selflessly in any situation with courage and a complete faith in the presence of a power that supports them and all of life completely. Without exception, every person, all the time, everywhere. Those are the people who truly become heroes. Now, they may not be perfect. That's okay. Because sometimes looking for perfection is an excuse to not take any chances. It's an excuse not to live. The truth is, let me kind of put this in a nutshell. We are spiritual beings learning how to grow in every way in a physical world by using our human bodies and a divine intelligence we call consciousness, coupled with the power to choose and the power to act. That is what we are. And that's quite a combination. That's a very heroic combination. We aren't meant to sit around and be cautious and careful all the time, waiting for whatever crumbs of life might want to be, whatever crumbs life might want to drop on us. The truth is, there are always going to be things in life that we are afraid to do, but we cannot live from fear. We may need to do those things anyway when they show up. In fact, maybe we should practice doing things we're afraid to do so that it won't feel so strange when something comes up. All right? That way, if something unexpected happens that requires us to do something we've never done before, we will be mentally and emotionally prepared. The time to prepare is before, not after. We'll know how to think without our brains going numb or with our knees shaking, whatever it happens to be. I believe that's part of the reason that people climb mountains, ride motorcycles, and jump out of perfectly good airplanes. You know? It really is. They're not trying to impress other people. They're trying to impress upon themselves that they can do things they never thought they could do. Back at SLCA, every couple of years, we had a group, we'd take a group who wanted to go skydiving. And we went down to a place in South Georgia and we took them. And I remember taking a 78-year-old gentleman by the name of Don Hampton, one of our longtime members there and here. And on his 78th birthday, we took him. And he was absolutely petrified until he saw how beautiful the instructor was that he was going to be connected to and all that. And then he was good. But when he landed, he was transformed. And a lot of other people were too. All right? Doing great things in life is not just about physical heroism. That's fun to practice and fun to play, as much as it is about mental and spiritual heroism. That's why Mother Teresa once said made the beautiful statement, we don't need to do great things, we just need to do small things with great love. To be present with great love at every small situation that we're involved in. That's the kind of hero that really makes a difference in the world. That's the kind of heroes we need right now. You see, the greatest heroes in our life are always the most perfect mirrors. They're perfect mirrors. The best teachers reflect our ability to teach. The best healers reflect our ability to heal. The best lovers reflect our ability to love. And when we honor these people with respect and whatever other honors we use, and we thank them for what they have taught us by their example, we also honor ourselves. We also honor ourselves. We honor our ability to learn and to grow. We honor the strength in us that comes alive as it recognizes the same strength in them. That's the hero in us recognizing the hero in them. If we make the conscious decision every moment of every day to live our life honoring the best of whatever we see around us, we're going to discover something really wonderful. We're going to discover that deep inside each and every one of us, in our heart, in our soul, and in our mind, is the hero we've always been looking for. That we've always been looking for. And not only is this hero in here faster than a speeding bullet, more power than a locomotive, and able to leap tall buildings, or at least medium tall buildings, in a single bound, it can also heal and create and prosper and love. It can do anything it decides to do. It can attract whatever it desires. It can create whatever it chooses to create. In fact, the hero in us can do anything that it sets its mind to do, and nothing can stand in its way. Not kryptonite, not the evil empire, and not the Lord Voldemort, if you're into Harry Potter, same thing. And as far as I'm concerned, even if you don't get a medal or you don't see your name on the front page, that's the kind of hero we need to allow ourselves to be. Because it's wonderful. And so are you. And so it is. All right. Thank you. Anyway. Okay. Thank you. All right. Take a breath or two. Take a few moments. A lot of ideas there. Just take the ones that resonated with you. Set aside the others for later. And let's recognize that God is greater than our conception of God could ever be. Spirit is more powerful, more loving, more generous than we could ever imagine. And because we are made of that Spirit, the same is true for us. I know that I have within me a power that is in every other person and everywhere in life. That power is a power to live life greatly, the power to choose, the power to create, the power to love, truly the power to see something better in anything that exists and to create a space for that greater something to happen. When I read the news or I see the videos and I see the anger and the fear or the hatred or the violence, I do not feed it with any of its like. I allow myself to face anger with calm, to face hate with love, to face fear with peace, and to face violence with kindness. I recognize that these things are unacceptable in our society, but I first face these things by not allowing them to be present in my own mind. So I look at my thoughts. I hate no one. I feel violence or anger towards no one. I wish no one harm. I wish, I embrace, and I will embody a world that supports every person in becoming the greatest they can be. I support in my consciousness a world, a country, a city filled with peace, where people treat one another with respect, with the God in one person, always recognizing the God in all others. This is the power I have. This is the power everyone has. And as we all begin to embrace it, we begin to find the answers that we need to face the problems that we've created up until now. So knowing this, I give thanks. I give thanks for the presence of this power. I give thanks for the love that fills my heart. I give thanks for the intelligence that fills my consciousness. I give thanks for life. And releasing this idea into consciousness, I let it be so for myself and every other person from this moment on. Join me in saying, and so it is.